Have you noticed how we've mastered the art of being alone together? We sit in rooms full of people, scrolling through thousands of connections, yet feeling utterly isolated. This isn't a new problem. It's the oldest human paradox, one that spiritual teacher Osho dissected with surgical precision. We desperately want someone to truly know us, to see past our carefully curated exteriors, yet we spend enormous energy ensuring no one gets too close. We build walls and then wonder why we feel trapped inside them. Consider how this plays out in everyday life. You're on a first date and someone asks about your family. You share the sanitized version, the one that makes you seem well-adjusted and normal. You don't mention the complicated grief, the unresolved anger, or the wounds that still ache. Why? Because from childhood, we've learned that vulnerability equals weakness. School taught us to hide our confusion. Family dynamics rewarded us for being fine. Social media perfected the art of selective truth-telling. The real tragedy isn't that we hide. It's that we want others to be naked while we remain fully clothed. We demand transparency from partners while maintaining our own opacity. This creates impossible relationships where everyone's performing, no one's connecting, and both people feel vaguely cheated. True intimacy becomes possible only when you stop trying to be impressive and start being real, including the messy, uncertain, imperfect parts that make you human. There's a restlessness inside us that never settles. It drives the workaholic chasing the next promotion, the serial dater seeking completion, the spiritual seeker jumping from teacher to teacher. Like a fever, this search consumes us and distorts our perception. Alexander the Great conquered the known world by 30 and wept because there were no more kingdoms to claim. Modern celebrities achieve everything society promises will bring happiness, only to end up in rehab. Businessmen make their millions and discover the emptiness remains. What are we actually searching for? Most people can't articulate it. We just know something's missing. But here's the twist. The search itself creates the emptiness. It's like frantically looking for your glasses while wearing them. The shift happens when we ask, who is searching? This question dissolves the entire enterprise. The seeker and the sought collapse into one another. You discover you've been the treasure all along, someone swimming desperately through the ocean looking for water. Imagine spending your life playing a character someone else wrote. Your parents wanted a doctor, so you became one, though your heart longed to paint. Society demanded strength, so you suppressed tears until you forgot how to cry and wondered why laughter felt hollow too. This is the cost of inauthenticity, a life lived for others' expectations rather than your own truth. Authenticity isn't about brutal honesty or weaponizing truth. It's about showing your real face, even when uncomfortable. A Nobel Prize-winning surgeon once confessed his profound misery because he'd always wanted to be a dancer. All his external success couldn't compensate for betraying his authentic desire. Your body keeps score of every lie you tell yourself. The anger you swallow creates a tight jaw. The sadness you suppress settles in your shoulders. The enthusiasm you fake leaves your eyes lifeless. When you consistently override genuine feelings to maintain a pleasant facade, your body literally reorganizes around the deception. The dying Hasidic mystic Josiah understood this. God wouldn't ask why he wasn't Moses, but why he wasn't fully Josiah. Your only responsibility is to your own authentic expression. Self-trust forms the foundation for trusting others. Without it, you constantly second-guess your perceptions and seek external validation. Modern society systematically undermines this through education, rewarding obedience over exploration, and parents resisting children's independence, creating compliant citizens disconnected from their core. When you genuinely trust yourself, others respond with trustworthiness. People sense authentic trust and rise to meet it, transforming relationships from transactional exchanges into genuine connections. Trust requires privacy. Your inner being needs protected space to flourish, like seeds needing darkness to germinate. Marilyn Monroe's tragedy illustrates this, living entirely in others' eyes until her sense of self dissolved. The solution is rhythmic movement, going inward to gather strength, then emerging enriched to share with the world. Maintain healthy outer relationships while cultivating a sacred inner space that remains uniquely yours. Not every chapter of your story needs to be public. We mistake neediness for love, confusing dependency with genuine connection. Two empty people cling together, each demanding what neither possesses. Your relationships fail because you seek externally what must be generated internally. Real love isn't finding the right person, it's becoming the right person. When you're truly content alone, you can genuinely love from overflow, not from need. Most relationships involve four people, the masks meeting publicly while real selves hide privately. You present your best angle, suppress difficult emotions, perform happiness. Your partner does the same. You're relating to projections, not people. The risk of authenticity is real. Showing your true self might break the relationship, but authentic separation beats false togetherness. One moment of genuine connection outweighs a lifetime of pretense. Security and aliveness contradict each other. When lovers become spouses seeking absolute security, they become dead lovers trapped in patterns. Instead of wasting the present worrying about future security, live fully now. What if nothing about you needs fixing? This thought terrifies us because society thrives on your dissatisfaction, creating an impossible gap between who you are and who you should be. This gap generates perpetual anxiety and fuels a lucrative self-improvement industry. Buddha and Christ escaped this trap, not by becoming perfect, but by accepting themselves completely. Paradoxically, when you stop trying to improve, life improves you. When you accept yourself as you are, difficult because it contradicts your programming, you stop postponing life and start living it. We cling to misery because it fits our programming. We feel we deserve punishment for not being as we should be. But we weren't born in sin. We were born in innocence. Society rewards phoniness and condemns natural behavior, creating people who hate themselves for being human. Self-love isn't selfishness. It's a prerequisite for loving others. You can't give what you don't have. True sharing comes from overflow, from having so much joy that giving becomes natural. Lao Tzu teaches that softness accompanies life, while hardness accompanies death. Life flows like a river, not going somewhere, but simply being. In a world selling connection through apps, we've forgotten. You are both the seeker and the sought. The treasure has been inside you all along. Practice feeling the consciousness of others as your own. Begin with trees, rivers, the sky. Become one with them. Then practice with people you trust. When you lose yourself consciously into someone, they naturally flow into you, creating genuine communion. The barrier isn't external, it's thinking itself. We think about love instead of loving, about life instead of living. We exist in thoughts about the past or future, never here and now where existence actually resides. With clear perception, everything becomes transparent. Look deeply enough and you'll discover yourself everywhere, in rocks, trees, other people. Stop searching and start being. Drop the masks, trust yourself, accept your humanity. Intimacy isn't something you find. It's something you become when you finally come home to yourself.